Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. 1025 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Caroline Fenton is here today. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how we doing?
Outstanding. Nick Keezer is in for Ian today. Hello, Nick.
Yo, yo, yo. Not going to say hey, 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 but...
close enough.
Good enough.
Good enough, good enough, right?
All right, good to have you with us, Nick. So I want to start on this. You know, we always get into, like, doom and gloom. The doom and gloom. You know, I am really... I was talking to somebody about this today, and it's just going to come out on the air, so I'm just going to let it fly. But there are so many things about my life that I like, that are going well, that are good, that, you know, I can... But there's all these other things...
very happy.
There's all these other things outside of my life that bother me. You know, like politics stuff or, like, other people's issues. And it's like I'm almost so frustrated with being upset about things that I really can't control that I'm almost like, should I just shut it out? Should I just cut the cable news off? Should I just, you know, whatever, and just live my life and go on and forget about all the other things that are outside of my control that don't bother me, right? Or that do bother me, mm-hmm, that are outside of my control.
Sometimes ignorance is bliss.
And every time you turn on, like, you can literally flip from Fox to MSNBC or CNN, and it's like, this could be the end for Republicans. And then you click the next channel. This could be the end for Democrats. And I'm like, look, man, the Republicans and the Democrats ain't going anywhere.
It's doomsday every single day, every no matter day. What you believe in.
But every now and then, something could officially be the end of whatever it is, whatever grand tradition or whatever institution that we've known of for years and years and years. Which brings me to the NCAA, because I am trying to kind of read the tea leaves on all of this. You know, I think with a lot of these deals that usually they get done, it's like it's announced that Jared and Caroline are thinking about launching a podcast, and then within an hour, the podcast already has a name, it has a logo, it has a... That stuff's already done. Texas and UCLA and USC. Remember, that was... UCLA and USC are thinking about leaving for the Big Ten.
And then a couple hours later?
1 hour later, it's done. 1 hour later, they're voting tonight. 1 hour later, they voted, they're in.
Unanimously.
I mean, so all those, it was done, right? Like, it was done. And I think there are certain people in the know. And I think we can all agree that ESPN and Fox are driving this, right?
100%.
Which takes me to the NCAA. So Joel Klatt is the number one broadcaster for Fox's Big Game of the Week. There are two number one broadcasters, two number one analysts in college football. Because, I guess, three. Gary Danielson at CBS, Kirk Herbstreit, ABC/ESPN, and Joel Klatt. You know, the three networks that have, these are their guys. And so Joel Klatt last night sent out a tweet that I just could not believe. And this is when you talk about being on the take. Here's what Joel Klatt said. Quote, "It is incredibly hard to see right now, in particular if your team is outside the SEC or Big Ten. But the long-term outlook for fans is a good one," says Joel Klatt. "We will look back on these times as the moves that shaped a better postseason, more quality non-conference games, and stronger governance. To me, that is the Fox pom-poms, and here are the talking points that have been given to me as the lead analyst on Fox who pushed the move for UCLA and USC." But that takes me to the next step. Joel sends out another tweet. And this is the important one. "One of the major wins in all of this conference movement is the fact that we are growing closer to the moment when the NCAA no longer exists." So Joel's talking about how the future could be the NCAA is gone. Now, how many times over the last 5 years in your life, 10 years in your life, have you heard, this could be the end of the NCAA?
More so in the past couple of years.
But I feel like it's constantly been a, you know, if we pay the players, this could be the end of the NCAA.
Really, when NIL became legal, I think that's when the big conversation started of what is the NCAA's job now.
Well, remember when they started the playoff and it was like, well, what's the NCAA's job with the playoff?
Well, it's never been NCAA's college football championship, whether that's
always
a playoff
been
or
the BCS
or whatever it might be.
And before it was the AP's championship, uh-huh, and everything else. But I say all this, 20, 30 million people still watch that basketball tournament. You know, those things, the NCAA, like, it's still cooking. And I say this because we got Joel Klatt right there saying the end of the NCAA. Now, I think Joel is in the know. We know Joel is talking to the top of the people at the Big Ten because he is the lead commentator for Fox, and their number one game every week is usually an Ohio State game. So we know Joel's in the mix at the Big Ten, and we know Joel's in the mix at Fox because Joel is the number one Fox guy, which takes me to Herbie. So Kirk Herbstreit, I think we could all agree, is in the know on some level or another because he calls these games. This is what Herbie said on Thursday on Mad Dog Sports Radio after USC and UCLA made their move to the Big Ten. Here's what Herbie said.
Wait until players become employees. I think that's going to be part of this, too. I think this world that I'm describing is going to break away from the NCAA. I think they'll create their own governing body. They'll put a commissioner that's in charge of it. They'll probably do a CBA with the players, essentially making making them employees. And right. Then they'll negotiate a deal with them. So you avoid the antitrust laws. Negotiate a deal. Here's our deal. We'll pay you a salary your freshman year. We'll pay you a salary your sophomore year, junior year, senior year. And the longer you stay, the more money you make. And that's, again, it's professional football.
Okay. So we played the clip last year from last June, yesterday, where Feinbaum was basically saying, without leadership in college football, we're going to have a 12 or 16 team playoff, and it's going to be super conferences, and it's going to be like the NFL. And you hear that clip 13 months later, and it feels pretty obvious Feinbaum was in the know. Now you hear Joel Klatt say, the end of the NCAA, it's over, stronger governance, breaking away. Herbie, breaking away, commissioner over the head of this, a new era of football, a CBA with the players, which I got to tell you, I know the money's good, but a CBA, you're going to give half the money to the players? Why would you do that? But that's for a different discussion. Do we take that as, and we were talking about this on something else that we're going to discuss later today. Yeah. There is a difference between I think and I'm telling you. And I wonder, are Joel Klatt and Kirk Herbstreit thinking out loud about the end of the NCAA? Are they thinking out loud about this breakaway? Are they thinking out loud about signing a collective bargaining agreement, as Herbie just said in the clip we played? Or are they telling us, this is it for the NCAA. These two super conferences are going to leave, and they're going to start their own conference, and they're going to go from there, and it's going to be like the AFC Junior and the NFC Junior, and they're going to have a commissioner like Roger Goodell Jr., and that's going to be how this is run, and we better get used to it.
I think it's more so they're telling us. Because,
so you think it's telling?
Yes, because it's Kirk Herbstreit, it's Joel Klatt, it's the two faces of college football for their respective networks. And I mean, you said it, with Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC and USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten. Those were orchestrated moves that have probably been in the process for quite some time now. We're just finding out about it. So what's the next move that Kirk Herbstreit and Joel Klatt and everyone else in the know already knows about? Mm-hmm. And it's really not that far-fetched to think, because I think, let's go back to last year before Texas and Oklahoma entered the SEC. The idea that college football could turn into the NFC and the AFC was almost incomprehensible. But now, Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC, USC and UCLA to the Big Ten, and all of these teams wanting to make their moves, it doesn't sound that far-fetched that college football is going to resemble more so the NFL than college football of the past. So I think this is really Joel Klatt and Kirk Herbstreit telling us, buckle up, because I quote-unquote think this is going to happen, because that's what most likely is coming down the stretch.
I think they're telling us to.
I
think they're telling us to.
I don't think it's a coincidence that Paul Feinbaum, a year ago-ish today, said something about expansion and about how college football will look like the NFL, because what sounded crazy last year isn't that crazy. It's what everyone's thinking, and they know it.
I do wonder, and I keep going back, when it comes to the end of the NCAA, because when it comes to the end of the NCAA, like, what about the basketball tournament? I mean, I know that this is all football, and we all know it's all, we all know there's
it's all about football.
There's things that we all know, that we don't really have to dig deep on. We know Fox and ESPN are behind this.
Yes, we know it's about money, and we know it's all about college football. And if that's the death of college cross country, then so be it. They don't care.
And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the death of volleyball, and I'm okay with all of that.
Well, I think that's sad for those athletes, but...
But the basketball tournament is a big part of my life. I love the NCAA basketball tournament.
And I don't even like fans do.
I don't like college basketball.
I think people who even don't like sports probably enjoy March Madness.
So
everyone fills out a bracket.
So we're doing this to get rid, and we're getting rid of the basketball tournament and the other sports and that, like this. So that I think is a really big question. Is
but does it have to mean the end of the basketball tournament, or is it just the end of NCAA at the beginning of basketball tournament?
So I tweeted about this earlier today. And I think Braden Gall replied and said, well, they'll just start their own tournament. Because I can't imagine if the SEC were to say, we're going to leave the Southeastern, or we're going to leave the NCAA and the Southeastern Conference and the Big Ten are going to start, you know, the College Football Alliance or something like that or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. The College Football League. So they're going to start this new thing that's not NCAA sanctioned. You cannot convince me that Kentucky sitting there in the room is going to say, yeah, screw the basketball tournament. That Kentucky or UCLA or Maryland or Indiana or, you know, there's so many like basketball schools that would say, hold on, Michigan State.
Unless those schools are in it. Unless it's Duke, UNC, Kentucky, Michigan State, all included in this Super League, because it's really likely that they might be, that they probably will be.
I don't know. The ACC, the one thing I'll tell you about the ACC, if you think you're getting out of this grant of rights, like, I asked Trevor about this yesterday, because I talked to some people in the ACC, and they basically told me about the grant of rights that, I mean, you want to get out of it, it's going to be risky. Like, you're going to have to go to court, and they're going to have to decide where they're going to adjudicate this. Do they adjudicate in North Carolina State Court? Do they adjudicate it in a federal court? Does it go to a Connecticut court because ESPN's part of the deal? You got to litigate that. Mm-hmm. Then you have to win the court case, and if you lose the court case, you're going to owe the ACC hundreds of millions of dollars. So it's a risky proposition, and you're going to have to pay for all this lawyering too. So it's something where I think everybody that could get out, Clemson, the Florida schools, Carolina, Virginia, that they're kind of looking at it like, I really would like you to go first. You try this. Let me know how that works out for you.
And we'll follow
and
if we see fit.
Then let me know. And it's because, so everyone's assuming you can get out of the ACC, but the people I've talked to in the ACC have told me good luck on it. And not you can't, but just that they, you know, that's a really big question. So if you can't take Carolina and you can't take Duke and you can't take Virginia and you can't take NC State and you can't take Louisville and you can't take these good basketball programs, we're going to have two basketball tournaments? And then what about like Villanova and Kansas and Gonzaga and these good basketball programs if we're breaking away from the NCAA? And so there's two things here. One, I would agree with you. I think that Joel Klatt and Kirk Herbstreit are telling us.
Yeah.
I don't think they're thinking this out loud. I think they're telling us. The other thing that I do think, they're making the NCAA the bad guy. Because there's no reason to make Fox the bad guy, and there's no reason to make ESPN the bad guy, even though ESPN and Fox are absolutely the bad guy in this. They are absolutely the instigators in what's happening to college sports. And yet Fox and ESPN don't want people mad at them. Fox and ESPN are so hands-off on this stuff because they don't want anybody to think that they did this, even though everybody knows that they did it. But if they keep bringing it up, then everybody will say, well, did they do it? Did they not do it? Whatever. So everybody's like, you know who's bad on this? The NCAA. They're the bad guys, and most people hate the NCAA anyways. So I don't think that's a bad idea. But, I think they're telling us that the NCAA, whatever teams end up in the SEC, whatever teams end up in the Big Ten, that they're done with the NCAA. And if that is the case, then that's much bigger than just you know, what's going to happen with the conference championship games. So let's get started on that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, and we will go to your phones at 615-737-1025. There's another mega question that I looked up this morning, and it involves the granddaddy now of college football, which is no longer the Rose Bowl, but it is the playoff, and we'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 here on the program, and I want to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. That's right. I love FanDuel Sportsbook, and I have been using FanDuel Sportsbook for years, and you can use the promo code JGM if you want to get in on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Again, the FanDuel Sportsbook app, use the promo code JGM. Let me pull up this copy that I need to read out because I didn't know that I was going to be doing this at the beginning of the show, but I guess I am. So let me tell you about baseball. That's right. I love baseball and the FanDuel Sportsbook app. So right now you can turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up using the promo code JGM and place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you do not win. Guess what? The Braves aren't losing really at all right now, and kicking that Cardinal butt. And so tonight we shall see. They got great promotions every day. It's a safe and secure app, and you get paid fast. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook and my official sportsbook app. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with the promo code JGM to get started on your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days and restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Well, as I just said, content is king, right? And what sports offer are real-time content, which is the most attractive to advertisers, where you can't watch it, you know, you tape it and watch it later that night because you're going to know the score, or you're going to be worried that you're going to know the score. So watching these things in real time is absolutely paramount, and that's why the advertisers flock to it. There is no question that the television people were influential in this decision, as they were when Jim Delaney took the Big Ten to Maryland and Rutgers. It wasn't because he loves the University of Maryland or Rutgers University. It was because he liked New York City and Washington, D.C. as television markets. Los Angeles is in the same category. So the idea that you're going to go from sea to shining sea television-wise is a very, very interesting one.
There you go. That was Coach Rick Neuheisel on my SiriusXM Mad Dog show the other day. And I asked about the TV influence, and you heard right there. It's all about TV. And I was thinking about this today, right? So the whole idea is just going back from the beginning. Greg Sankey wanted to expand the playoff to 12 teams, and he wanted basically three slots on any given year for the SEC, or at least the possibility for the SEC to get three slots, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Because this was before Texas and Oklahoma got into the SEC, quote-unquote,
so,
or it was announced to the public, at least.
The whole idea was that they were going to push them in. Like, they were going to do this at the dead of night, and they were going to get 12 teams, and then Texas and Oklahoma would have shocked everybody.
Before you know it, there's three or four SEC teams in the college football playoff.
But A&M got mad, and so they leaked it out, trying to keep Texas from getting into the league, and instead it kept from the expansion from actually happening. And so that was fine. Like, that was that easy. So then it didn't happen. And Sankey was mad about it. And a lot of people say, well, now the SEC, when they put Texas and Oklahoma in there, it was kind of like, well, now we'll just take them all. And the Big Ten's doing the same thing. So I thought to myself, can Sankey do that? Like, does he have the power to, on the next wave after 2026, to get all of the bids to belong to the college football playoff, to the SEC and the Big Ten? So I looked at, I'm like, who's in charge of the college football playoff? I mean, think about it like this. To use the head of the, and not that there is a head of the NFC East, but Jerry Jones cannot get extra playoff spots for the NFC East because the NFL is the one who's in charge of the entire league. And there are 32 owners, and in order to do something, you have to get two-thirds of the owners to vote on it. Well, the college football playoff is not run by the NCAA.
No, it's run by the College Football Playoff Committee.
So I asked this question. Who owns the College Football Playoff? So I did some research. CFP Governance at governance@collegefootballplayoff.com. CFP Administration, LLC, manages the administration operations of the College Football Playoff. Members of the company are the 10 FBS conferences, the American, the Atlantic Coast, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Conference USA, the MAC, Mountain West, Pac-12, SEC, and Sun Belt, and the University of Notre Dame. So that's who technically owns the playoff. Not the SEC, not ESPN, who has a rights agreement to broadcast the College Football Playoff. So they have 11 board members. Tim Caboni, who is the president at Western Kentucky. Maybe Tim's a fan of the show. I don't know.
But hey, Tim.
Tim Caboni at Western Kentucky. He is one of the 11. Jim Clements, the president of the ACC. Excuse me, of Clemson and the ACC. Gordon Gee used to run Vanderbilt, now runs West Virginia. Talk about two universities that are not similar. Jack Hawkins, the chancellor at Troy University. The Reverend John Jenkins of Notre Dame. Christina Johnson, president of Ohio State. Mark Keenum, the president of Mississippi State. Kirk Schultz, the president of Washington State. Satish Tripathi, the president at Buffalo. Just hired a great women's basketball coach, by the way, Becky Burke.
Nice.
R. Gerald Turner, the president of SMU. And Keith Whitfield, the president at UNLV. He hired a great women's basketball coach too, Lindy LaRock. So that's who's in charge of this, right? Okay, so Greg Sankey wants to take all the bids in the SEC. So Greg Sankey and the Big Ten decide, hey, you know, we got all this Fox money and all this ESPN money. We want all the bids, okay? We want to take them all.
Yep.
How do you think Kirk Schultz at Washington State's voting?
Not so great. Yep.
How do you think Satish Tripathi at Buffalo's voting?
No.
Okay, how about R. Gerald Turner at SMU?
No.
Keith Whitfield at UNLV.
Nope.
Christina Johnson at Ohio State.
She's probably for it.
All for it.
She loves it.
Christina is
on our side.
Jack Hawkins at Troy.
Absolutely not.
Nope, Jack's not having that. Gordon Gee at West Virginia.
Gordon is saying no.
He's weird. Like, I met him like once when I was a kid when he was running Vanderbilt. He's weird. Gordon Gee. He would still vote against it. Jim Clements at Clemson, how's he voting?
Depends.
No, he's definitely out.
Well, it depends.
He wants ACC to get it on.
I'm saying it depends on what Clemson does. But for now, no.
Tim Caboni, Western Kentucky, how's he voting?
Absolutely not.
Okay, that takes us to one more. Where's the Mississippi State guy? I can't remember
his name. He's voting for it. He loves it.
Mark Keenum, who, by the way, just hired a great women's basketball coach in Sam Purcell. Just want
to
know that.
So that's what, six no's, two yeses?
Yes. So that's my whole point about this.
But is that the only group of people that are voting on this? Because I know that there are so many subsets of the College Football Playoff. Greg Sankey's part of one.
So the second subset
is... The AD at Notre Dame is in the same group that I believe Greg Sankey's in.
The Management Committee. The Management Committee, and again, this is according to the College Football Playoff website, the Management Committee manages the day-to-day operations of the company. It has authority over those aspects of the company's operations that are not reserved exclusively for the board, but all of its decisions are subject to review by the board. So the board, you know, Tim Caboni, they're in charge of this second group that we're about to say. So Greg Sankey and all those people, they don't have any authority on Greg Caboni, or whatever the hell the guy's name is from Western Kentucky, who we love so much.
Greg,
Tim.
Tim Caboni, that's it.
Yeah.
We love you, Tim. But
hey, Tim.
The other thing, hey, AJ Brown.
But
the other thing on like this whole process point is, like, Greg Sankey has bosses. He's got right now 14 bosses. Greg Sankey does not own the SEC. The SEC owns him. It's not the other way around. And so here's your second subset. And you tell me, voting for all the SEC and Big Ten teams to get the bids, or voting against it? Mike Oresko of the American Athletic Conference.
Against it.
Bob Bowlesby, who's going to be out at the end of the month, and Brent Yormack or whatever is going to be taking over, but he's the Big 12 commissioner.
So against it.
Keith Gill, Sunbelt.
Against it.
George Kilakavoff, Pac-12.
So against it.
Judy McLeod, Conference USA.
Against it.
Jim Phillips, ACC.
Against it.
Greg Sankey, SEC.
Oh, he was orchestrated this whole thing.
John Steinbacher, Mac.
Nope.
Jack Swarbrick, Notre Dame.
Nope.
That'll be a question mark, but I'm right now I would say no.
But, I mean, yeah, at this point where Notre Dame is,
they would prefer to stay independent if they can stay independent.
I think the only way that Notre Dame joins a conference is by absolute necessity, and that would be if it's all at-large bids or if you need to be in a conference to qualify for the college football playoff.
Craig Thompson, Mountain West.
So against it.
Kevin Warren, Big Ten.
Oh, loves it.
So
Kevin
and
Greg.
Over the last two groups that we've just gone over, I think the vote count right now is like 27-4. So this is what I'm talking about when it comes to, you know, they're going to start their own thing and it's going to be two mega conferences and they're going to take all the playoff bids. I'm like, you think the Sun Belt commissioner is going to vote for that? I don't. You think that the president at Buffalo is going to vote for that?
No.
I don't. So I'm trying to figure out who owns this conference. Or does the college football playoff, are they going to start a new college football playoff? So forget about the NCAA and forget about the college football playoff. And now we'll have like the championship ladder of college football excellence that will be on ESPN and Fox. Because when you get away from what is normal, like when you just go so far away from what people are used to, that's too much of a culture shift for people to be able to handle that.
Yeah. And two, it would be the most advantageous thing, and this is what the SEC and the Big Ten are going to push for so hard, is 12 at-large bids, 16 at-large bids, whatever it is, whenever the college football playoff inevitably expands. I think it'll be interesting to see which, you know, presidents, chancellors, ADs, whoever it might be, are in favor of expanding now. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, now, you know, the Mountain West, the MAC, they don't have a seat at the table. An expanded playoff might give them a seat at the table, but it also wouldn't give them a guaranteed spot in a, you know, a conference champion bye week that are guaranteed spots in the college football playoff. So I think that'll be interesting to see. But it's inevitable that the college football playoff is expanding, but I don't see a world in which there will be 12 or 16 at-large bids.
Does not make any sense to me.
Does not make any sense, but it will expand. That does seem pretty much guaranteed.
Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025, and our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate, kick us off today. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Nate.
My thing is, all of this is about money. If this mega couple conferences break away from the NCAA, what's stopping them from basically saying, yeah, you guys don't have to go to class anymore. We're not a part of the NCAA. They can't do anything.
First of all, I think we have to look at it like this, right? They're not going to class now.
No.
Like, I mean, this idea of, you know, what's going to happen to the NCAA other than hosting the basketball tournament and like a couple of minor eligibility issues, they kind of stay out for the most part. And I guess, and I was going to let Nate finish, but I guess he dropped there. But, I mean, I think my bigger issue is, are people going to want to get behind essentially like a new thing?
See, this is what's difficult, is I keep battling in my mind with, it doesn't matter what the conferences are. It doesn't matter what trophy you're playing for. It's still your team that you get to watch play the game that you love. Versus, can you really be on board with such a different framework of what you did love? Because I think for the most part, people love the regionality and the individualistic personality that each conference had or each team had. But that's pretty much gone. And I think that's why so many people, including myself, love college football more than the NFL, is because there was so much more personality. And so that's gone. So are people going to appreciate this new, more commercial approach to college football? And I think both can be true, that you don't like the commercialization of college football or the hyper-commercialization of college football, but you still enjoy the product because it's the team that you love.
More your phones on this, 615-737-1025. I'm with you. Like, I think people can handle even a massive change. I don't think they can handle such a change where all the other ones are playing the college football playoff, and this is the college football ladder of excellence. And tonight, it's like, I don't think people could do that. I don't, like, if we were to change, let's take American Idol, right? And instead of the voting to decide who wins, the judges got to pick who won. That's a big change, but I don't think that that is such a change that people wouldn't watch American Idol. If we stop singing, I think people would have a problem with American Idol. The question is, where is the line between the two?
What's too much?
Yeah. And again, if you get rid of this basketball tournament, I mean, I don't know. There's going to be a riot if the NCAA basketball tournament gets cut into two, because nobody's watching that. Nobody's watching either one. 615-737-1025. More of your phones on this. Stillman and Company right here, delivered by TriStar Moving on 1025 The Game. What do you think will ultimately happen to the ACC, the Pac-12, and the Big 12?
Well, they will have written the handbook on why not to do long television deals. Larry Scott did a 12-year deal, and look what turned out. At the time when he signed it, you know, it was kind of a split deal between ESPN, ABC, and Fox. The time he signed it, it was the most lucrative in history. But 12 years later, it not only cost him his job, it's also cost the Pac-12, maybe their most lucrative partners in the Trojans and the Bruins. Jim Phillips is hamstrung right now with a deal that takes the ACC through 2036. And don't think Clemson, Florida State, Miami, and others, North Carolina, aren't looking at the fine print, seeing if they can get out of this deal and maybe jump to the SEC or something like that. This is all, I'm not going to fall that far behind my competitors. And how do we best take care of ourselves?
There you go. That was Coach Neuheisel. And last night, the ACC, this came from CBS, the ACC and Pac-12 discuss a loose partnership that could include a championship game in Las Vegas. The ACC and Pac-12 have discussed what has been termed a loose partnership that could end the season with a conference playing a championship game in Las Vegas, sources confirmed to CBS. The concept, believed to have been proposed by the ACC, is seen as a way for the conference common rights holder, ESPN, to increase the value of their current media rights contract. So that, you know, I think is obvious. It's not likely this proposal would have much impact considering ESPN has cost certainty with the ACC and a contract that lasts through 2036. The Pac-12 is trying to survive after the loss of USC and UCLA to the Big Ten. Rights for the Pac-12 teams without the California powers are worth about $30 million, down from the $42 million per program with the Trojans and Bruins in the fold. So a loose partnership.
That sounds a lot like, do you remember the Alliance?
Yes.
Where it was a gentleman's
agreement.
Well,
that was a really
agreement.
Loose partnership.
A gentleman agreement. You're going to make major business decisions.
Yeah, and then the Big Ten absolutely screwed them.
Based off of a handshake?
Exactly.
And that's how I view this as a loose partnership, because
not if you're playing a championship game.
But I'm saying this announcement now, because it's loose, well, so they're not tied to anything.
Sources.
They can get out of whatever they want to get out of. This makes them feel a little bit more comfortable in the time being that, okay, ACC and Pac-12 are in their little situationship, but as soon as a member of the ACC or the Pac-12 gets a better deal in the SEC or the Big Ten, that loose partnership isn't binding them to anything.
So this is what I think it is. I think that they're saying, hey, let's have a partnership that doesn't kill your conference, but allows us to get games. We'll play a championship game in Las Vegas so that you feel like you got something out of the deal. We get basically the rights to Oregon, Stanford, and Washington or somebody else. Then you convince Notre Dame to come along. Because if you've got Stanford, you can probably find a way to try. What you have to do is you have to increase the media rights in order to get Notre Dame to come full circle. But if you can do that, if you can get Cal and Stanford on the schedule for Notre Dame because they're rivals, then Notre Dame could probably do it, and you could probably convince them and raise the money, and then you can renegotiate the TV contract and make it shorter and not run through 2036. That's what I think this is, but it's a way of doing it without anybody defecting. I just don't think it's going to work. I think if you want to do this, you have to go take Oregon, Washington, Stanford, Cal, and Notre Dame. And you have to be proactive. And if I were the ACC, I think I would ask Notre Dame, you know, what would it take? How much money per year would it take for you to fully join the ACC on a full-time basis? Then I would go and I would try to ask Stanford and Oregon to come, and then I would try to target Baylor. And I would say, because that is a Texas school, and you got to have a Texas school in order to be a big football program. Mm-hmm. and it's a good Texas school. So, I mean, again, that's what I would do, but again, I'm just talking out of my rear end. The thing is, you have to renegotiate the deal with ESPN, which is a humongous impediment, because if you did, if your rights agreement was coming up or something like that, you could take it to CBS, who doesn't have a football agreement anymore. You could take it to CBS and say, hey, like, let's do a big deal here. Or you could take it to NBC, who's got Notre Dame, and say, hey, let's do a big deal here. NBC gets the Notre Dame home games, and they get something else, and CBS gets the non-Notre Dame home games. And with that, each school walks away with $75 million or something like that. I don't know, but you can't do that now. What do we have on our phone lines?
One texter texts into the text line and says, with the way things are progressing, how long before these players have agents to oversee their interest and a players' union appears?
So they already have agents.
Yeah.
Agents technically do not like players' unions because players' unions protect players. And usually when a players' union is protecting a player, it's against the team. But the players' unions also protect players against the agents. So the players already have agents. You can have agents now. You just there's like a fine line of what's legal and what's not, but you can have an advisor now. So that is out of the way. I still don't think we're going to see it, even though Herbie is saying that there's going to be a collective bargaining agreement, I don't see it. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the NFL players, the TV revenue that the NFL gets from NBC and Fox and CBS and ESPN, like 47% of that goes to the NFL players. Well, right now, 100% of the TV revenue goes to the college football programs. You're going to make a deal where you go from 100% to less?
No.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Absolutely not.
So,
and then you would be looking at basically the end of most other collegiate sports, because without, let's say, 50% of the income coming into those athletic departments, cross country, swimming, softball, they're all done. They can't survive.
What else we got?
Another texter texts in and says, the NCAA hasn't ran college football since before the BCS. There's a reason why the trophy is different than every other NCAA national championship trophy.
That is true. It is a different looking trophy. And I'm not saying that you're asking for that trophy or whatever, but if you were to quote unquote break away from the NCAA, you're breaking away completely. It's not, we're breaking away in football. It's not like how Notre Dame is independent in football, but is in the ACC and everything else. You're not in the NCAA for every other sport, but out of the NCAA for this sport.
And the NCAA still is the governing body over college football. You still have to adhere to NCAA guidelines, whatever those exist now. But no, it's not the NCAA college football championship.
You don't break away. It would be like saying, you know what? We want to, let's say Tennessee wants to secede from the United States of America, but we still want...
We want to be the
federal,
in the SEC.
We still want the federal government to take care of us. That's not how that works. You don't get that. Though Puerto Rico already has it, you don't get that. 615-737-1025. The Browns have traded Baker Mayfield. I have a strong opinion on that. Chris Sanders will join us next, former Titans receiver. And Treylon Burks, boy, did he get himself into a bag. We'll get into that coming up with Chris. That's next. Stillman & Company right here on 1025 The Game. Stillman & Company on the program. So I got this sent to me on Monday. And I obviously sent it to Caroline. And I sent it to Caroline. And what it was it was a video on Instagram. It was what's called a reel, which I'm not all that familiar with. But
it's basically like a TikTok on Instagram.
And it was something. All I have is the picture that I have taken. I took a screenshot of and sent to Caroline this morning. But apparently it's been deleted. It was Treylon Burks on a boat on the 4th of July with a bag of Doritos, and he's got no shirt on because he's on a boat. Let me say this. I'm not one to judge, but I also do not play wide receiver in the National Football League. Back me up on this. This body right now that we're looking at with Treylon Burks does not look like a wide receiver in the NFL.
It doesn't.
And
no.
Does that picture, with or without the Doritos, but certainly with the Doritos, does that concern you?
So I go back to Ryan Tannehill's post on a boat, which can Titans players just get off boats?
Or at least posting pictures on boats and compromising
exactly.
situations.
And it wasn't the idea that he was going fishing. It was the message that it sent, that I understand that there's all of this talk about me, yet I'm not listening to it, I'm going to be so tone deaf and post something on social media. Like, Treylon Burks having fun on a boat and eating Doritos on the 4th of July, like, how much of a difference does that make with his physique? Probably not much, but it's the tone deafness of understanding that everyone in this city is concerned about you being in shape and you post yourself eating Doritos. So it's the tone deafness, and it's the idea behind it that, like, hey, I don't really care.
Chris Sanders joins us now on the program, former Titans receiver. Chris, are you worried about Treylon Burks and his Doritos?
No, not really, but it still sends a bad message because you came in here in OTAs and mandatory, you know, workouts, and you're out of shape and you're sitting there riding a bike. So it's just, I know it's kind of crazy. I know it's early. I know TD says it's early, but it just still gives a bad look. You're sitting on the boat and you're eating Doritos, and I think we can't take it out of context. But still, man, I would show pictures of me working out, lifting an airplane, or doing something productive as opposed to just eating Doritos and sitting on the boat.
Well, I mean, he obviously deleted it. So somebody told him that the eating Doritos on the boat was not a good idea to post out there. You know, when it comes to personal lives
but,
and stuff.
But why would you post
lives,
that, though? Why would you post that, though?
When it comes to personal lives, Chris.
Yeah.
You know me. Like, I'm not going to get on here. Like, if a guy's wife is crazy, I'm not going to get on the air and talk about
right.
a guy's wife. Like, I'm
Absolutely.
Not going to do it. I'm going to talk about, you know, whatever. But if
right.
you put this stuff out there,
right.
like, you're the out-of-shape first-round pick replacing A.J. Brown, and everyone's saying it's okay because there's plenty of time until training camp. There's
right.
not plenty of time until training camp anymore. There's 20 days until
Absolutely.
Training camp. It's like 75 days until you play the Giants.
Right.
I mean,
Absolutely.
At what point is it getting too late for Treylon Burks?
I mean, I'm not saying it's too late, but I just think that we need to have a sense of urgency. I mean, this is why, you know, this picture is so big, or what he put on Instagram or Facebook, is because there's a lot of people riding on. There's a lot of people depending on you. Tannehill's depending on you. The offensive line's depending on you. Vrabel's depending on you. Todd Downing's depending on you. So if you come in here out of shape and you're not ready to play football, it just puts the Tennessee Titans behind the eight ball, because look at the situation. A.J. Brown was a big player for the Tennessee Titans. He made big plays. He took over games. We're expecting Treylon Burks to do the exact same thing, because I'm going to break it down to you like this. If we saw, like, Taylor Lewan, you know, with eating potato chips and, you know, on a boat, we wouldn't pay it any mind because we know he's going to come in shape. But now you got Treylon Burks, who, you know, who comes in OTAs out of shape, you know, not being able to participate. It just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And I'm not saying it's a time to panic right now. I just think it's a time for concern.
I think it leaves a Doritos taste in your mouth.
Well,
Treylon Burks out there with his. The thing that's crazy about
I don't
this,
get it. It's
Chris
crazy,
Sanders,
man.
The thing that's crazy about this with me, and I'm almost being serious here, and I really am being serious
right.
with, it's not the Doritos that bother me. And
I know
I'm not worried about that or whatever. I mean, I'm sure a lot of guys ate a bunch of crap on the 4th of July
Absolutely.
In the NFL, and I'm sure they drank a bunch of stuff in July, and I wouldn't surprise me if a lot of the players smoked a bunch of stuff on the 4th of July. You know, there was a
right.
a paparazzi shot of Tom Brady on his yacht smoking a cigar. Now, I read
right.
the TB12 method. I didn't read anything about smoking cigars in there. So, I mean,
right.
it is what it is. But the two things that bother me, one, what Caroline hit on with the tone deafness. Like,
yes.
dude, the whole city is trying to say the nice way of saying we're all worried that you're
right.
fat. And so that
yeah.
bothers me. And the second thing that bothers me is, Caroline, that body was not, that body does not look like it's ready for training camp.
But see, it's when those guys that you name, like Tom Brady, those guys are proven in the NFL. So they can go and do the crazy stuff. They can grab the Lombardi Trophy and throw it, all those things that we saw when they won the championship. But here's Treylon Burks, who's coming from Arkansas, and everybody's dependent on you. You're still unproven. And that's why this is so big. I know everybody's like, oh, it's just a picture of him eating Doritos, and he's on the boat and this and that. But still, you're leaving that impression that you're not working out. I understand it's the holidays. I understand that you want to do things on the boat. I understand you want to eat Doritos. But here's the deal, man. This is I know I was joking a little bit earlier, but I want to talk about the severity of what's going on. You have to be the number one receiver. And if I know that Tannehill's depending on me, Todd Downing is depending on me, Mike Vrabel's depending on me, you know, Jay Rob's depending on me, you're not going to see me, you know, having a big old bag of Doritos on the boat when I came in out of shape. I'm going to show pictures of me working out, you know, getting swole, doing trap work, all those things, so you can get an impression that I'm trying to help this team. So, you know, I know we're not pushing the panic button, but my hand is really close to pushing it.
When would you push it?
You know what? If he comes into camp and they do the drills and he's sitting over there riding a bike, then now you got to push the panic button. Because here's the deal, Jared. He's behind the eight ball, you know, when he came in OTAs and when he came into mandatory meetings. He needs reps. He needs to understand the speed of the game. He needs to understand how to be in communion with Ryan Tannehill and also work with those other receivers. So if you come in, you know, out of shape and have to ride the bike and not going through drills and not being in sync with your quarterback, then now you're not going to be in sync until, you know, the sixth or seventh game of the year. Because, listen, you know, everybody, including myself, expects him to come in and play. Because when you're the number one pick for the Tennessee Titans in the draft and they let the number one wide receiver go, then, you know, if you're not doing the right things to come in, then that's when it's going to be a big-time concern.
Chris Anders is with us. News today in the NFL, Baker Mayfield goes from the Browns to the Panthers for a conditional fifth-round pick. I have no idea what those conditions are. I did get an email that says the Panthers' odds, according to the odds makers in Vegas, have gone down since acquiring Baker Mayfield. Chris Anders, your reaction to the trade?
Man, I mean, it really doesn't matter. I just think that it doesn't – it's good for the Carolina Panthers, but it's bad for – the Cleveland Browns, because nobody knows what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson in that situation. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if it's a good fit or not. I don't know what he's going to do, but it's going to be interesting to actually see what happens.
Can a quarterback learn a new playbook in a month?
I mean, you can. I mean, quarterbacks are smart. I mean, the thing about it is it may be different terminology, but the routes and stuff are still the same. I mean, once you pick up the terminology and the scheme of what the offensive coordinator is doing, then it's definitely going to be okay. So I think he can go in there and definitely do that. But the key part about that is just really knowing your players, knowing the receivers, knowing the running backs, and knowing all your guys. That's where the trouble is going to be happening at.
Okay, 20 days until training camp starts. Chris Anders is with us. What if you were a player, where would you be from a fitness standpoint? Where would you be from a ready-to-go camp standpoint with it being 20 days from now?
Oh, I'll be ready. I was ready to go, you know, a month and a half before those 20 days. Because the thing about it is, some guys try to say, okay, I'm going to get in shape coming when I get to camp. No, you need to be ready. Because the thing about it is, if you try to come into camp and you're out of shape, then that's where you're going to get hurt. No, for me personally, I took pride in coming in camp in shape. I took pride in being physically fit because I wanted to go out there and play. So, you know, with me, I just knew that before those 20 days.
Were you ever not in shape? Like, was there ever a point in time where, you know, training camp could have been July 7th and Chris Anders was ready? It could have been
absolutely
June 26th and Chris Anders would have been ready for practice that day.
You know why I'd be ready for practice is because I had to be a professional. You know, when we talk about being a professional, is not just finishing a sprint or showing up the time on meeting and all those things. Being a professional is saying, you know what, this is my job, I'm going to prepare for my job, and I'm going to be ready for my job. That's being a professional. Nobody had to ask me to work out. Nobody had to ask me to wear, okay, 20 days before, make sure you're in shape. No. Because I took pride in that, because teammates were depending on me. Steve McNair was depending on me. Neil O'Donnell was depending on me. Derek Mason, Joey Kent, all those guys were depending on me to be successful in that offense. So I didn't want to let them down. That's why I made sure that I was in camp.
A pro's pro, number 81.
My God.
I don't know what page in your program, but it was half a page, and it was number one in your hearts. Chris Anders. Chris, appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you, man. Hey, love you, bro. Love you, Caroline. Bye-bye.
Love you, Chris.
Chris Anders joining us on the program, as always. And I would say this about Chris, and that is that I'm not sure he ever was out of shape. You know, the idea of
– he's still not.
I mean, nowadays, look at him when he played and look at him now. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's like a – you know, he is like a tight end now compared to what he played. Because when he played, he was just a burner. He just would run by people. Every single time.
And now he's just...
So I got a thought on this Baker Mayfield trade. Baker Mayfield's been traded to the Panthers. I got a strong take on this one that I'm excited about. We'll get to that next. Right here on Stillman & Company, it's 102.5 The Game.